Scripture reading, 1 Chronicles chapter 13, 7 through 10 and 12 through 14. They moved the ark of God from Abinadab's house on a new cart, with Uzzah and Ahio guiding it. David and all the Israelites were celebrating with all their might before God, with songs and with harps, lyres, timbrels, cymbals, and trumpets. When they came to the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he had put his hand on an ark. So he died there before God. David was afraid of God that day and asked, "How can I ever bring the ark of God to me?" He did not take the ark to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gitty. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed his household and everything he had. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us.
Thanks be to God.
Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us.
Please pray with me. God, we come to you right now and desire for you to open our hearts to the words that have been read by the students that you spoke, that you had written down, so that they may be written on our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for this time when we're able to come together and grow together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oftentimes I enjoy when I'm reading scripture, especially when I'm dabbling in the Old Testament and its stories and its different illustrations. I like reading between the lines and trying to figure out, you know, it's how they get from point A to point B. And as I was reading Chronicles, and I was kind of envisioning this story take place, and they're bringing the ark with the poles, and they're carrying this massive structure, and they're trying to figure out where to put it. David's trying to figure out, okay, well, what are we going to do with this thing? And then Uzzah touches it and dies, and they bury him there, and they're still moving along, and they're building campfires, and they're sitting out. And David says, well, hey, Obed, come over here. He's like, hey, I got a great idea. Let's put this in your house. And I couldn't imagine being Obed saying, well, David, wait a minute. What? You want this in my house? Like my little tent? Like what? I just saw it kill a man. First off, let's start there. It killed a man. It's God's presence for the entire nation. You want to put it in my house? I trip over my own coffee table. Like, if I happen to be walking around at night and I bump into the ark, I'm gonna die. Like, I can't even help it. It's dark and in my lamp, you know, and what are we doing here? And David's like, well, listen, I got this. And I can't imagine the campfires that those men had with David leading it. We had a campfire just last weekend with our friends at Cedar Kirk, and I'm sure David had wonderful, wonderful campfires with awesome songs, and so that probably led into Obed saying, well, I guess I could do it. I mean, we're all like spiritual here, and we'll put the ark in my house. I'm all right. And we all wrestle with that, with what Obed wrestled with. We all wrestle with having the presence of God in our homes. And what are we going to do with that? Later, the Ark of the Covenant had a temple built for it. David's son Solomon built a temple, and a big, giant, massive structure, and it is all laid out in 1 Kings 5. And on that, and I thought was very significant, is the giant, massive door, the wooden door that separated the Ark of the Covenant from the people. And the fact that earlier, it was laid in this man's house, little Obed's house, now is in this fortified structure, and only one person is allowed to enter it and not enter it, and that is the high priest. And how they had walled off the presence of God, which at one point just entered into different people's homes, and different people as they traveled, as they built tabernacles that traveled and moved, now had a solidified structure. And then the temple was destroyed, and then another temple was erected, and that temple was destroyed. And then finally Herod's temple had a veil, and a veil separated what was the Holy of Holies, where the ark was, and with God. And the day that Jesus died on a cross and gave his life for all of our sins, for humanity's sins, there was a big, giant, massive earthquake, and that veil was ripped from top to bottom. And it symbolizes God's presence with the people once again. That no longer that it was going to be sealed off and backed away, that God was going to be allowed to have a deep connection with his people. And Jesus did that for us. When he died on the cross, he paved the way so that we can enter into that relationship, that we can enter into that presence. And John, one of Jesus' disciples, wrote the book of Revelation. And in that, he used the analogy of Jesus standing at the door of our hearts and knocking. And the little picture that I have up here, if you've noticed, that there is no outside door handle, that the door has to be open from the inside. And and Jesus is invited in. And when he's invited in to our hearts, to our house, let's expand upon that analogy, our house. Think about your house. Close your eyes for a second. Think about the different rooms and how it's laid out and the different structures, and allow that to be our hearts. When we open our door, we have a welcome sign outside, but is our hearts, is our life welcoming to people? Or do we bolt the bottom door and we look at and see how the world is, and then we do the deadbolt, and then we're like, wow, you know, it's really tough, and I really don't know how to trust people. Everyone's gonna backstab you and do this and do that, and then we latch the top latch. Or are we people that our doors of our hearts are open for relationships? That now, once we have allowed Jesus to enter into our threshold, into our doors, into our hearts, that we are hearts that are welcoming of everyone. We are hearts that our doors are not locked. Our doors are not give or take or just depending on what's going on, but our hearts are open. I know for me and the house that I grew up in, and 2002 NFL football season was ended up being a big deal. And it started off, like all seasons start off, just kind of slow. And my brother and I wanted to have buck parties. And we're like, you know what, let's invite a couple friends, and we're going to watch the Bucks, and we're going to have some fun, and, you know, bring something to share with everybody. And so as the season progressed, if you know what happened in the 2002 NFL season, the Bucks ended up winning the Super Bowl. And as the season progressed and the team started winning, my parents' house parties got bigger and bigger. And then my sister wanted to invite her friends. And that was a little crazy. We're like, what? Your friends don't even know how to spell football. But yet, okay, come on, you know, we can bring anyone, we can invite anyone. And then my parents' friends decided they wanted to start coming to our football parties. So then they were in. And so on January 19th, 2003, when the Bucks played the Eagles, we had four TVs in all the different rooms of our house to accommodate the people that were at our house, at my parents' house. And I didn't even know some of them. But they were there, and we were on the outside patio, we were in the living room, we were in the family room, we were in the back bedrooms, and as wherever a TV was, my parents had their house open. And I grew up in a very open and welcoming house, and my mom's snack cabinet was constantly emptied weekly. And that's the kind of heart that was established within me. And that's the kind of heart that I want for my youth ministry. This phrase, I heard this phrase a while back, and it really stung me. And I'm like, we are not going to be about this. And it was us four and no more. The mentality of a ministry, of a student ministry that is so tight-knit, and they might have great relationships, but nobody else can come in. Because it's us four and no more. And that's all that we want to be about. I heard that at a youth conference. And I'm like, well, that is not happening when I'm the leader. And our student ministry is very open. We were very open to friends. We were very open to families of all different background, all different things. And I pray that our hearts, as we allow Jesus into it, is that way for the world around us. And then we go on to our living room, and we sit down in our living room, and we relax, and we turn on the TV. If Jesus was sitting right there next to us, would he be excited and watch the kind of shows that we watch, the kind of things that we allow into our room, into our life, into our house, into our hearts? Because they get there. And so many times I hear, oh, it's not a big deal, but it is. Because we become apathetic to seeing those things on our TVs and allowing them to come into our hearts. Would Jesus have a place there? And as we enter from the living room into the kitchen, that was always a struggle for me. I struggled with the kitchen and my relationship with God because I didn't have any control. And at one point, I was 220 pounds. And I would wash my pizza down with a Big Mac and soda. And that my eating habits were horrendous. And I was just very unhealthy. And it was at a time in my life when I said, we gotta stop this. And I allowed God to kind of work on my heart and work on my eating habits. And eventually it changed and I was able to do better. But it's a struggle for humanity, because when we were in the garden, it wasn't lust that was the first sin. It wasn't anger that was the first sin. It was eating. It was eating. It was taking a fruit and saying, this looks really good. Let me eat it. I might not even be hungry, but I'm going to take this fruit anyways because it looks good. And that's how we are as humanity. We're like, hey, this looks really good. I'm going to eat it. And always the best things that look good are probably not the healthiest things. Absolutely. Absolutely. So as we look at the kitchen, as we look at how we do that, as we look at relationships with food and with people and with God, allow Jesus to wrestle on that. Am I doing what would be appropriate? Am I treating this temple, the place that I want Jesus to be in my heart, are we treating it well? Am I living healthy? Am I going to live to the maximum potential that God has for me, or am I cutting myself short by what I do and the decisions that I make? And then we go down the row to our bedrooms. And Emma's bedroom a little while ago had this sign on it, and it said, friends may enter, dad has to knock. And I was like, wait a minute, we're gonna put a stop to this. So it's in the trash can, and her door is open, But I look at that and I think, you know what, how many of us seal off that part of our life? Say, look, God, you know, you can be in the living room, you can be in the kitchen, you can come in, but in the bedroom and my relationships there, that's not happening. You're not welcome. You're not welcome, God, into how I dress and how I present myself, who I am. You're not in charge of the different relationships that I bring in there and what I do in there. That's my business. You can stay and stay out in the living room where it's all comfortable. But when it comes to the bedroom, you're out? Or do we allow God to kind of work in our life, work in those relationships that are in there, and work on our soul and really hold on to what who we are and who we're establishing in? And then finally, I want to end with an illustration that I think is probably one of the best ones. Recently, Disney re-released Beauty and the Beast. And I wasn't able to see it because Emma didn't want to see it. Out of all the people that begged her, well, I'll take you. She's like, nah, I don't really want to see it. So I haven't seen it yet. But I have seen many, many times the cartoon version. And the Beast had Belle stay with him, and she could have access to anywhere in the room, anywhere in the building, anywhere in the castle. She could go to the library, she could go out to the garden, she could go here, she could go there, she could go to the dining room, but she was not allowed to go into the West Wing. And if we remember, the West Wing was where the Beast stayed, where his true self was. He had the scars and the stripes on the walls where he had torn down the wallpaper. He had it dark and hidden. And then the rose was there. And he didn't want Belle to see who he really was. And I think oftentimes we do that with Jesus. And we do that with people. We say, you could come into my life and you could be a part of all these different things. But don't go into that West Wing. You are forbidden. You are not allowed to go there because that's where my true self is. That's where I really am. That's when you will know me to the core of who I was. I present myself as this beast, but I know that of who I was and who I am. And Jesus comes into our West Wings and he heals us. And just before the rose drops and we are stuck in the humanity that we are, Jesus came down, died on a cross, rose again to allow us to not be that beast, to establish us as princesses and princes in his kingdom. And he loved us that much. And he said, I am going to go into your West Wing. I am going to completely renovate that house. And you're not going to be the same again. But if we look and we remember what happened to Obed, even though he might have been nervous to have that ark, even though he might have been a little scared, once he allowed the ark, once he allowed God's presence into his family, into his life, God blessed him. And God will continue to bless us as well. When we allow Jesus to come into the areas of our life that's difficult, that we struggle with, that we might not really want him to really get in there, we are reminded that we will be blessed. That he will come in and he will bless us. And he will establish us and that old way will go away and we will be princes and princesses again. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your work in our heart, your work in our life. And we pray that we would allow you into our heart, that we would open that door for you, so that you may come in and you may renovate our lives. And whatever our West Wing is, and that we have forbidden other people to go into, that we have forbidden even you, that we would allow you to come in, to restore us, to bless us. And Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
May we leave here today confident that we are not alone. We have God with us and inside of us. May we live this week differently because we know we are temples of God.